What is going on, everyone? I'm Mike.
And I'm Bash.
And welcome to House of Pod, our 1 year anniversary.
Sort of, kind of, yes.
Yeah, maybe like five or six days off ish.
Something like that.
Yeah. But this also will be our season finale. Is that how a podcast works?
I think so.
They go through seasons.
Sure.
Yeah. We're going to take a little bit of time off, kind of rework everything, kind of hone our skills, master the pod.
Mm-hmm.
Craft the cast and other things.
So from what I'm getting, we could either come back with a metalsmithing podcast or a D&D podcast or somewhere in between.
Or we'll become magicians, but like the cool kind.
That's going to be really weird over podcast. Like, trust me, the card is no longer there.
Yeah, we're recording off my phone. These aren't sound effects at all. No, I meant like... I guess a sorcerer would be a better way to say it, not a magician. No, like, so listener, what card do you have?
Yeah. Well, we're getting off topic.
Are we?
Slightly. We have some news to get to.
Oh yeah, there's some shit that's going on, but we're gonna talk about some lighter things before we go into that. Well,
yeah, there's at least 26 pieces of news.
Lighter as Jesus. at the time of recording.
Yes.
Lighter news as in. Well, you'll see. But let's go ahead and start with the non-wrestling stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's probably better.
Yeah.
There's less of that. So there's been a casting call for a Native American or Hispanic deaf character in their 20s. Now, leading theory, when you just kind of like look up what superhero does this sound like, you get Echo. Maria Lopez, she's basically the Young Avengers version of Daredevil, I would assume.
Is this Marvel or DC?
Marvel.
Okay, because my brain immediately went to that guy from the Super Friends cartoon who can grow really big.
No, not that dude.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember his name. He probably doesn't exist in the DC universe anymore. That's a pretty racist caricature.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's rumored to show up in Hawkeye, so... I'm okay with this,
okay.
Especially because if we're getting a character from the Daredevil universe, I'm assuming they may want to bring Daredevil in eventually, and they do have the rights to him before the end of the year, so
I kind of wish
there's always that hope.
They sort of already like dropped the ball on this one because they already did Ultron, but I really liked that Young Avengers animated movie that they did when it was like basically the kids from the Avengers. Like, it was Ant-Man and the Wasp kid, Captain America and Black Widow got together.
I knew it.
Black Panther and might have just kept Storm in there.
I was gonna say Black Panther and Storm, that would be a powerful child there.
And then,
Black Panther powers and weather powers.
There was a couple other ones. Basically, like, they were living in the...
More than just lightning. Fox.
They were... Yeah, right. They were living in the... in a world that Ultron won. And, like, the only living heroes that are left are an old Iron Man, Vision, and then Hulk, who, like, lives in a cave out in the middle of nowhere. So that would be cool. But they already did... They already killed Ultron.
I mean, we do have a what-if scenario coming up.
Huh?
We do have a what-if show coming up.
That would probably... If they would do that, they would probably have it... The Young Justice come out first, and then they would do the what-if. Because they're not going to be like, what if all of these people had kids and Ultron actually won? You're like, whoa!
I don't know. Maybe that's how they introduce them. Just kind of like an offshoot and then see if people, if people are receptive to the episode. They're like, all right, let's throw a few more little random things in there and see what happens.
They have like a big
that's my theory. All the shows are just like, okay, we're going to tell a story. We're going to test a couple things at the same time.
I can see it. They're at their studio while it's airing. And they have like a big chart that fills up with money as it goes up, and it has to hit a certain point before it becomes a movie.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're like, oh, the flow chart is overflowing with money. We can let's make this a franchise.
Mm-hmm. This is a one-off level. That is franchise level.
Yep, exactly.
This is multi-picture deal.
This is the goods right there. Look at this. We got to get a new machine now.
Sign them before they're 18.
Yes, yeah, quickly, so we can get it. We can reap everything.
While their mother is still their lawyer.
Yeah, right.
This turned dark.
No, it's okay. We can go on a whole tangent about.
Let's stay a little bit more light. Like DC might be hosting a Comic-Con, supposedly.
Might be hosting a Comic-Con or like their own showcase.
Basically their own showcase. I guess they're supposed to have like the Suicide Squad trailer, the Reeves Batman, more information about the new Justice League, the Snyder Cut, and another Wonder Woman, the 1984. Because this is Patti LaBelle's, is it LaBelle or LaPel?
I don't
know. I think it's Patti LaBelle. Anywho, this is her like first solo thing. Like technically, Zack Snyder did have a few like modifications and oversight to do with the first one. So this is her solo thing.
Wait.
So it's kind of brighter because like different directing styles, not just because you know it's 80s.
Yeah. So would this be? Is this like an online thing? Like what Comic-Con's doing now?
I believe so. I'm not 100% sure.
Okay. Well, at least they're doing something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. I don't see why they would, like, oh yeah, we're definitely going to host a physical thing.
Yeah, because on the other side of the spectrum, to bounce back to Marvel, Disney has canceled the Star Wars Expo.
Oh.
And it actually won't happen until, not next year, but the year after. Because they alternate between like a Star Wars Expo and then the Disney Expo, which it's still Disney. It's like, that's weird. Like, yeah, it is Star Wars, so have an expo for its own thing, but it's weird where it's like, it's basically you're putting the Star Wars Expo in the Disney one. So you're still getting it, but you're also getting Marvel and I guess garbage TV shows from Disney Channel, but
hey, sometimes you gotta watch garbage shows from Disney Channel.
I had to because of siblings.
Yep,
it was not fun. But yeah, so that'll be interesting. I like that Comic-Con is online this year too. I kind of want to like see it. I don't know if they're gonna charge money.
I assume so, since Comic-Con is you pay money for a ticket to go to a place where you pay money.
I actually think we reported on this like a couple months ago. Like, mm-hmm. I actually thought that they were doing a free one.
Oh, yeah, you did mention that. You are correct.
I'd have to look into that, because I don't know if they got all the details ironed out. But it would be, like, soon, because it's at the end of, or it's in, like, the middle or end of July, I believe.
Maybe the Comic-Con is free, where you can, like, walk around and look at people's art. And then pay for it.
So it's
and
like,
then look at the trailer, and then like, oh hey, go to the Marvel trailer to view Advanced Black Widow.
And
it's like 22 new seconds of footage, $60.
I'm seeing like, you pay for a ticket, but that ticket is like, it's a live stream where they just put an iPad on like a remote car or something that then you could drive it around Comic-Con. So there's just a bunch of robotic iPads.
That would actually be pretty awesome. Especially if they started cosplaying all the iPads.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all dressed up in different characters.
Mm-hmm.
The people just have to put the mask on.
Yep.
That'd be perfect. Is that all the good news?
Well, if you would like wrestling to still remain good and pure, please go watch Brian Cage versus Keith Lee at Beyond Wrestling on YouTube. It's a free match. Oof. Yeah, who I believe to be the future NXT/North American champion, and also who I believe might be the future AEW champion, facing off. It's a good match.
That's a lot of meat crashing into each other.
Oh, it was. There was so much meat slapping.
So much meat slapping. That's... Ooh, I'm watching... Yeah, when we're done recording, I'm gonna pop that on.
Mm-hmm.
all right.
And now.
So, I guess let's try... We crack jokes at things that are terrible. So we'll try not to do that for this because, this weekend in the wrestling world, for those who don't know, has been a nightmare. Let's just, before we get into that, I do want to mention there, prior to all of that stuff happening, someone tested positive for COVID at, or the virus at the,
I thought they had two people actually.
Was it two? I read the one.
I remember one of them was a trainee, but no one on the active roster. But
yeah, this was off the heels of the reports coming out that Kevin Dunn was telling people not to wear masks during Raw tapings because it doesn't look good on camera. And the fact that it's also come to light that now that somebody got it again, or like another person got it, now they're doing the testing. They're testing each person, which is a huge issue because they should have been doing that months ago. Like, AEW's been doing that since this all started. They like test everybody every day. It's probably expensive.
Oh, yeah, before they were just kind of doing like temperature checks and asking people if they felt okay.
Yeah, and like you can not have a fever and still contract it. So
Is, you know, why Roman Reigns got pissed off at The Miz.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. But yeah, I mean, Roman and Kevin Owens, those, and like, well, I guess Cena is off doing his own thing, but they're smart. they probably saw what was coming, the way that they're handling all of that, and were like, you know what? Can't do it. Sorry. No. But I mean, from one PR nightmare to another,
yeah,
let's just,
this one's called hashtag speaking out. So we're up to 26, at time of recording.
Yeah. So, over the weekend, there's a bunch of like sexual allegations coming out between wrestlers and promoters. And it's just been, I mean, it's like the house of cards, literally just, I mean, I only heard of, prior to coming over here to do the recording, I only heard of like maybe 10 or 12 when I was listening, I was reading about it this morning for work.
I think, Star and, who was the second one I heard of like first?
I don't know. The first one was,
Star and, I keep wanting to refer to him as the Irish Ace, Jordan Devlin.
Yes, Devlin. I know Neville's not right. That's not right. But yeah, and then,
not Stain Pack's kind of good name.
Yeah, the ones that I knew about was that those two, and then WWE basically fired Jack Gallagher.
Oh yeah, he not only got no future endeavor, and he was semi Benoit. They just, like, if you search for his bio, it just gives you like a nope. You do not have access to this page.
Yep,
gone.
I don't know what is going. Like, I don't know what the story of his is, but apparently, like, they released some sort of statement that said like they have no tolerance for this kind of stuff. If upon arrest, the wrestler is suspended. Upon finding it guilty, the wrestler is fired, unless there's enough evidence against them outside of like court, essentially. Sorry for the rain. If you guys hear the rain, just wants to make it muggier and muggier outside.
That's Illinois for you.
Oh God. But yeah. So. Jack Gallagher, Matt Riddle, which I think is still in contention because like his lawyer came out and said that
the company actually knew about those allegations. This has been going on since they signed him.
Yeah,
so they'd known about it since then. A solicitor for Riddle actually claims that he says that the accusations are false and that the accuser's been stalking the Riddle family for a while.
Yeah, and then I think upward of that was about.
Yeah, I know there's the NWA MVP, Dave Laguna. He's got one. Havoc's got an emotional abuse from his ex-girlfriend.
AEW put up something about him going into rehab for substance abuse and then other mental issues, which, I mean, rehab's good, but, like, I don't think mental issues is an excuse for something like that if it has been diagnosed, you know. We won't go into detail about the multitude of things that have happened between, like, the assaults and rapes and, like, grooming. There, I heard some grooming ones, which were weird between, I think there was Leggero. Was that on that?
That could have been it. Marty Skrull and Joey Ryan have an inappropriate conduct against them, which I'm not even sure what that means.
Neither do I.
With teenage girls.
Yeah, I don't know.
Trent Seven actually, he obviously denied claims, and since then, one of the women that was used to accuse him has come out and been like, hey, yeah, so I'm 19, one of the other persons is 20, and this person over here is 24, i.e. not underage. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I think she said her and another girl were absolutely trying to get with Trent Seven that night, so.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Jim Cornette, I think, is...
I almost shit myself when you said that.
That's probably the most interesting one.
Oh my god.
I guess the allegations against him... Well, this is one of those cucking feuds these days. supposedly, while he was booking for OVW, he would force young wrestlers to perform acts on his wife many times while he was watching.
When was he in OVW? That would have been... Ooh, that was a while ago, wasn't it?
I think so.
I mean, OVW, I don't think is much of a promotion anymore.
No, it's not anymore.
But, okay.
But it was still still a thing that was oh, ooh.
Yeah, that's ballpark, eyes wide shut nonsense. Jesus. Oh, that's okay. It just gives me...
Well, Jim Cornette likes what he likes. I never... And now that phrase takes multiple meanings.
Yeah, I never liked Cornette and to begin with. I thought we were already established that he was sort of a racist, so...
Yeah. Yeah, this just kind of furthers the, Jim Cornette should just stop being a public figure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is probably going to keep going unless you have more. Unless you want to keep reading your list that you got there. It's a terrifying list.
No, I have a few more, but nothing that's been kind of dealt with. There's the there's the allegations, but then there's ones that have come out and had either confirmed and denied it.
Hmm.
So I don't want to go too much farther than that because there could be some that have been oh, he did this, and that it's not really substantiated. And the star's just yeah, I was even out of state at that time, so sorry, this doesn't work. I think situations of that nature that could happen, so
yeah.
I'm not going to comment on anything until there's have been a statement by both sides, at least.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably going to... It'll probably take a little bit for it to...
Oddly enough, I feel it's also going to get worse before it gets better,
It probably is, to be honest, unfortunately. I mean, that's probably the case, but it's the same thing with having with Hollywood and the Me Too movement. I mean, it did at a point, it peaked at some point. I don't think this has peaked yet. You know what I mean?
No.
The accusations are still coming in, so we'll know more about it.
Yeah, the next couple I could weeks. Probably do a Google search at the end of this podcast and find more.
Yeah,
I don't want to.
No,
I might want to.
Yet I might want to.
You guys will know by the end.
Yeah. Let's not talk about sad stuff anymore.
Yes, let's move to something happier.
Wrestling. Well,
yep.
The other part of wrestling, the actual wrestling aspect.
Sweaty men beating the crap out of each other.
Yep. I'm just going to do a quick rundown of AEW Dynamite. This was the go-home show for Fyter Fest. Now, I forgot. Fyter Fest is 2 days, and it's when they air on Dynamite. So Dynamite for the next 2 weeks will be Fyter Fest.
It's what, July 7th and 8th?
July 1st and 7th.
Ah.
Yeah, so two separate weeks.
Okay.
So this is our go-home, kind of setting up a bunch of random challenges here and there. We got some debuts. We started out with Paige and Omega beating the Natural Nightmares of QT Marshall and Dustin. It was a pretty good match. I mean, it started out with Dustin and Kenny. Some nice agility versus experience type of thing. There's a weird spot, though. Dustin dives and takes out Hangman and Kenny, but like I'm pretty sure he was only supposed to do one because QT was like essentially waiting for one of them to get back up so he can then do his dive.
Lulz.
But Page and Omega end up winning because Allie came down and was cheering on QT Marshall because they got some thing going on now. So he tries to be all impressive, goes for a high risk move, ends up fucking it up, and then costing them the match. Which, mm-hmm. I mean, I like Dustin. QT's okay. They shouldn't take it off Page and Omega.
Yeah, definitely not.
Yeah.
Also, I gotta go backtrack just a little bit. It's the first and the seventh, or the first and the eighth, not the seventh.
Gotcha. Thank you.
I'll come back to that later in my during the NXT segment.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. So after that, we had the debut of Abaddon, who is this? I know she's wrestled.
She's been on Dark.
Yeah, yeah, she's scary.
Uh huh. She's like visually probably the most terrifying thing I've ever seen on any wrestling show ever.
But she defeated Anna Jay in very quick order, like very, very fast. Like less than a minute. And they had this big package with Anna Jay, kind of hyping her up. Then Abaddon just crushes her.
Yep.
which I think is hilarious. Then we had Cody defeating Ricky Starks from NWA, who is personally picked by Arn to face Cody for the TNT Championship. It was a really good match. I mean, this guy, like, it was much smaller than Cody, but, like, he was like just as intense going into it, and he had control of a lot of the match, but obviously Cody ends up with like a spiking crossroads to retain the belt.
Yeah.
It, I mean, it wasn't like botched. It was just sold very well.
Nice.
Yeah, which I appreciate. Yeah, we had Young Bucks defeating Jimmy Havoc and Kip Sabian. Probably not gonna see Jimmy for a while anymore. Jimmy had pliers in his pants.
Allegedly.
That was taken from the ref. Eventually the Butcher and the Blade came out to kind of like assist Jimmy and Kip, and then FTR came out to assist the Young Bucks. And so towards the end, Bucks take the win, then all the bad guys are, like, fighting all the good guys, which is weird saying that FTR is good guys. Ooh, that was a big one. And so we end it with both Young Bucks and FTR doing, like, stereo spiking pile drivers. Mm-hmm. Like, they did their Meltzer driver, and then FTR just did their regular, like, non-flip version.
I love that that's their finisher.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome.
I still want to see them randomly bust out a Shatter Machine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They did do it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that's, like, a signature now, but it's still good.
That's still an awesome finisher.
Yeah. Maybe that could be one of those, like, they'll have a couple hidden, like, they'll win with the Shatter Machine every so often.
Mm-hmm. Okay, with that.
I think the pile driver thing they just added just to sort of mock Young Bucks.
Kind of like Walter when he first started.
Mm-hmm.
He like held back a little bit, it seemed.
Yeah. So then the end of the night, we had the Best Friends versus Jericho and Sammy. The winners of these, currently the Best Friends were, going into this, the Best Friends were number one contenders to face Paige and Kenny at Fyter Fest. The winners of this match become the ones who actually face him. So really, really solid. I mean, I love Jericho is amazing. Jericho and Sammy together are really good.
Yeah.
Lay sex gods. This is what they call themselves. And obviously,
they should win the titles. Honestly, I think that'd be awesome just to have Jericho like making the titles that prestigious.
You know, it really did look like they were going to win.
And I really want to see, like, the Lay Sex Gods promo with titles.
Right. It did seem like they were going to win, but as Sammy goes and hit the ropes, he, like, tripped on something. And it looked like the cameraman got too close. And, like, it was either, like, his elbow or something. And, like, the announcers were, like, they apologized for it. Like, sorry, folks, you know. And Trent came and took the advantage.
Oh, wow.
And ended up getting the win off it. And then while Sammy and Jericho were in the ring, Sammy rolls out. That same cameraman puts his camera down, and it's Orange Cassidy, and he unloads on Jericho. Like, I've never
seen.
Yes. And it's not just he's trying, he's angry. Oh. Yeah. So, I mean, big old Superman punch, which I love his Superman punches. And I appreciate the fact that that's what they're called from now on.
Yeah.
You better cock it at least once. Do you think that's where the copyright line is drawn?
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe he has to cock it like 3 times.
Or if he does, no, if he does a slow one, that's too sexual.
I mean, it's Orange Cassidy, yeah. Is it?
Yeah, well, yeah. That's true. But yeah, so then this sets up Jericho and Cassidy at Fyter Fest, which is going to be great.
Especially if he tries.
Yes. I mean, I'm pretty sure he is, because he was, like, on fire. Yeah, that was AEW.
Nice.
How is NXT? I know they're trying really hard to, like, make us not watch. Yeah.
It was a little bit more promo-y.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they made promises.
Yeah.
Oh, they made promises. They also opened up with a bang, because we just get a NXT tag title match to start off with. Imperium versus Emporium.
What?
Yes, Breezango came out to Imperium's music impersonating him this week. It was beautiful. It entertained me way more than it should have. And oddly enough, these two teams had way better chemistry than I thought they'd have. Especially starting up like that, because it's like, okay, it seems like they're legitimately annoyed, like they didn't know that this was going to happen.
Emporium. That's so funny. I love those two.
Yes, it was... It was terrific, let me tell you. So anyway, it was basically the story of Breeze getting beat down for, like, a lot of the match.
Yeah.
He got beat down a lot. Hot tag to Fandango, who just kind of, like, went crazy, basically, as a hot tag, you know, tends to do. They nail the faux pas and then the last dance leg drop, both of those for near falls. But then Malcolm Bivens Enterprises comes out. Which also brings up Britt and Brawler to answer for them. And then basically Fandango gets distracted because faces get distracted very easily.
Is it Britt and Brawler?
Hmm?
The Britt and Brawler?
Yeah.
Is that a person or is that a team?
That's Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan.
Okay, because I would love to see the Britt and Brawler versus the Brooklyn Brawler if that was a singles, but I getcha.
Yeah. And oh, sorry, I misspoke before. Because Bartel actually gets distracted and Fandango rolls him up.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, he's not legal. Aichner is.
Ugh.
So Fabian just kind of runs up, gives him a big old DDT for the big old 1-2-3.
Oh, well. Nice try, guys. I want Breezango to...
That was, like, still a surprising match. I would like to see this again.
Mm-hmm. I just want Breezango to hold championship belts.
Uh-huh.
Gold.
That would be terrific.
And then they use it on their fashion files.
Yes.
Someone can steal the belts and they have to solve the crime.
Yes. That would be amazing. But they can't have him beat Imperium for it.
No. This has to be... I mean, that would be like triple threat. And then you have, like...
Oh, yeah.
Lucha House Party in there with like two other tag teams and they end up getting the pin.
Fatal 4-Way then.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Fatal 4-Way. That'd be a boring match if it's Imperium, yeah. Lucha House Party, and then Fandango. You're like, but although like, at the same time, everyone's like, oh, Imperium's clearly going to win. Because, like, look at the other people. Sorry.
Yes.
Fantasy booking.
Moving on, we get a Dream promo where, you know, he's like, you know, what happens after your loss? And Dream's like, I have no memory of that. And just kind of, like, moves past. But while he's kind of dodging the question... Dexter Lumis just kind of randomly pops up from behind the couch. Jesus. And just kind of slides this little caricature in of him and Dream as the tag team champions. And Dream, like, very conveniently and timidly notices it. And he's like, and this is nothing. What I did last week was just returning a favor. Dexter Lumis attacked them as a favor to me, and I returned it last week. The end. And then that was basically it.
Oh, that means Lumis is going to go after Dream because he turned down...
No, I think they're eventually just going to end up being a tag team, one of those, like, odd couples.
It's definitely going to be an odd couple.
I'm okay with that, but Prince. I wish they'd stop breaking up legitimate tag teams to make these odd couples that are amazing at being tag teams.
But, I mean, I will say Prince and Hannibal Lecter would be an interesting tag team.
Either that or put Cesaro and Sheamus back together.
And then
Shinsuke can be another member of their stable.
We don't just set the bar. We are the bar. Mm-hmm.
And then Sami Zayn whenever he decides to come back. Anyway, moving on.
Is he injured?
No, he just refused to wrestle.
Oh, good for him. Mm-hmm. Good for him. Like, sincerely. Fuck those people. Sorry, go ahead.
Moving on. We have a giant cruiserweight division match. Damian Priest versus Killian Dane. Oddly enough, this wasn't, like, it didn't live up to its full potential. Like, if it was given more time, these two probably could have put on a way better match. It was really good. Like, nothing was actually bad with it, but it was basically, like, there because Damian Priest needs a win. Because everyone's like, oh, he's this credible threat to be beaten, but then it's like, well, he's been beaten like 6 or 7 times in a row, so he's not too credible.
They fed Big Damo to him? That's not cool.
Big Damo caught a 360 kick and then the Reckoning.
That's unfortunate.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, Robert Stone is kind of like drunk and like laying up against the glass as Damo was walking out. He just kind of like pounds the glass with his fist and scares the shit out of him. So, I mean, that was kind of funny.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we have Xia Li versus Aaliyah, which I think they should have put a few promos in here. It would have helped from breaking them up. Aaliyah's kind of like walking out. She notices Robert Stone, so she kind of like brings him to ringside because she's been trying to get his attention for weeks, mm-hmm. which makes no sense since any of his clients keep on losing.
They just keep losing, yeah.
Yeah. Also, a majority of the match is just Xia Li like hoofing Aaliyah in the face.
Yeah?
Yeah, just like kick after kick. But then, like, Robert Stone, hoofing. Like, yes, hoofing.
Like, sorry, I have my, like, literal hooves.
Yep, like, picture a horse just like, hoof. But, you know, Xia Li and doing technical strikes.
Yeah.
But then Robert Stone, like, kind of drunkenly climbs into the apron and just, like, vomits all over the ring.
Is this his new character now? He's drunk?
No, he's just drunk and depressed because Chelsea Green was his like star character, and she finally won with Charlotte's help, and then was like, "Yeah, I quit," and then made her debut in the main roster.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, it had to happen, but I kind of like this new character. basically, Xia Li is distracted by the vomit, and Aaliyah gets the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment.
Surprise roll up.
Yeah, except, like, there's this, like, weird part where Xia Li's shoulder pops out, so the ref calls her on it, so she has to, like, redirect, which kind of eliminates the surprise roll up part.
She still got surprised with the roll up.
I know, but it was, like, a very lingering surprise. Like a you should have kicked out Booker T kind of surprise.
It was the surprise roll-up, but she knew the surprise party was happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then there's kind of, like, a Thatcher promo where he just was basically putting people in, like, arm bars and wrist locks. And he's like, the real fun starts next week. So it's like, okay, I guess they ran out of time and they're not debuting
it. There's a promo of him doing it? He's just, like, talking to the camera while putting people in arm locks?
Yeah, no, he's just basically, like, you know, in the Timothy Thatcher School of Pain or whatever, teaching people how to do wrist locks and arm bars.
Interesting.
Yeah, Fujiwara arm bars. I mean, I think they're giving time for his teeth to set, maybe. I don't know. So there's an Undisputed Era promo next, because they like their promos. This one was actually pretty funny, because it was like Roddy trying to get over his fear of Trunks ever since. Yeah, ever since he was kidnapped by Dexter Loomis, he's just been freaking out. He's been so nervous.
Oh, yeah.
And then they reveal that the therapist is actually Kyle O'Reilly.
Of course.
I mean, with his monster beard, you could tell, you know, you could mistake for it. But yeah, so it kind of ends up with Roddy being shown the trunk of a car, like, see, there's nothing to fear, and he just ends up, like, running, screaming down the street.
And then he gets cut off by a giant German man.
Yeah. Which just kind of leads into, like, Adam Cole and Dexter, or not Adam, not Dexter, the buttery voice of Keith Lee and Adam Cole, where Keith Lee just basically says, the title's going to be taken from you. It's got a limit, but it's not Killer Cross. It's me. And then he smashes the hourglass.
Because he's limitless.
Mm-hmm. So then Cole goes down to the ring to address all this. And, that just brings Keith Lee down to the ring because he's like, yo, man, I just told you I'm taking the title. Like, what's to address? Which brings Gargano down because he's like, yo, Lee, I pinned you last week. And, you know, Keith Lee kind of, like, reminisces a little bit, and then Balor comes out to make this a little more serious.
Balor.
I
can't do it. You do
it. I can beat all of you, brother.
Yeah, you do a way better accent than I do.
It's basically all to just bring Regal up on the screen. And he just is like, all right, so next week, you know,
the first night of Fyter Fest.
Uh-huh. The first night of Fyter Fest. We're going to have a North American title shot. It's going to be a triple threat. Gargano, Balor, and Lee. And then the winner of that goes on to face Adam Cole July 8th.
Which is
the second night of Fyter Fest. Yeah, they promised a lot. So we move to the back. Mia Yim and Candice LeRae are just, like, fighting each other. Because, backstage, it's fun. Caden Carter and Dakota Kai are up next having a match. Casey Catanzaro. That's a fun name to say.
Wait, that whole shtick didn't end the show?
No.
How? That seems like a great way to end the show.
Oh, yeah, that would be a great announcement.
But they just kept going.
Oh, like, no, there was a different main event.
Like, we have too many promos. We got to put some wrestling matches in this wrestling show.
Exactly, but we'll get to that. So it's Caden Carter versus Dakota Kai, and we have Casey Catanzaro and Raquel Gonzalez in respective corners because, you know, all of a sudden now they're tag team partners. You know, this is kind of a, you know, interesting match. They're a decent back and forth. It's a lot of Raquel Gonzalez kind of like helping Dakota Kai get the upper hand. And eventually Catanzaro just, like, gets tired of Raquel's interference. So she, like, tries to jump up and does a crossbody. But, I mean, look at those two next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
That obviously was not going to happen. So she just gets dropped on the hardest part of the ring.
Ooh, the apron.
Yeah, face first.
Ooh. That's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Carter's obviously like, oh, no, my friend. And then she gets locked in. I forgot what the submission's officially called. I should know it because there's other people that do it. It's kind of like the Brutalizer or maybe the Rings of Saturn.
Crossface?
Sort of. It's like both of the arms are locked up with your legs and you're just kind of like wrenching on the head.
Ooh. Curious. I could see it. Mm-hmm. That looks painful.
Yeah.
I don't know what the name of it is.
So, yeah, Caden Carter tapped, though.
Okay.
Because, you know, of course she is. It's Caden Carter. She,
isn't that Rusev's move? Lose.
No, that not the Camel Clutch.
Okay. I'm getting closer. I'm trying to think of, like...
Either way, they're on their back. They're on their back. Your legs are tying up their arms, and then you're pulling on the back of their neck.
Ooh, I'm going to
let it's like a reverse Camel Crush.
Yeah,
Camel Clutch. I don't know what it's called, because they're like, oh, some kind of new submission. And I was like, yeah, that's... I don't know, let me bust out my WWE and start creating a character. I'll figure out what it's called.
Right.
Might take a bit, but... so then we get a promo with Scarlett Dad carrying Cross fighting the Shattered Hourglass.
Fighting it?
No, finding it.
Oh, finding.
Yeah, like, oh, what was this? Yeah. Then we get a promo for Mercedes Martinez. I mean, I guess she's going to kill everyone. She was eliminated in the semifinals by Shayna Baszler, which, you know, used to mean something.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the Joker. She was actually the Joker in the AEW Second Casino Battle Royal, but then she was eliminated by Britt Baker because they're like, we got to push Britt Baker.
Because she's signed by us.
Yeah. And they did.
Yep.
Next up we have Bronson Reed versus Leon Ruff, which... Man, Leon Ruff is just a happy guy to just be squashed every time he comes to the ring. So I'm actually going to go over this match in great detail. Bronson Reed does a corner splash, then there's a senton, and then there's a big splash from the top rope. 1, 2, 3.
Cool.
That's about all I can do.
Squash matches.
After that, Bronson Reed just does the unthinkable. He calls out Karrion Kross.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
I mean, probably, but I'm okay with this. They're probably going to build Killer Kross up a little bit more. Bronson Reed maybe gets a little bit of street cred for being the dude that called out Killer Kross, mm-hmm. even though he got destroyed. Because, you know, that's definitely a future storyline where he's like, oh, yo, man, you're the dude that got beaten by Killer Cross in like 2 minutes. He's like, yo, man, I'm the one with the cojones to call him out.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Anyway, the nice guy Bronson Reed was, he kind of like picked up Leon Ruff and carried him to the back, too. That was just like, are you meant to be a face? Because you kind of seem like a good guy here.
Well, if he's going to call out Cross, then he has to kind of turn into a face, right?
I don't know if Karrion Kross is a good guy or a bad guy. They haven't established that. He's just the dude that comes in and beats people up.
Yeah, but that's...
And Ciampa was kind of a bad guy when he got beaten up, so if you want to be technical about it...
Yeah, but, like, his whole, like, et cetera and prey thing...
Fallen prey, yeah.
Like, that's... Good guys don't tell the people they're fighting to, like... pray for them, for, you know...
Maybe Scarlet is just a controlling sex dominatrix.
Yeah, and Karrion Kross is actually more like the Mankind, but the bubbly Mankind. But it's the Hourglass that's keeping him controlled.
No, it was shattered by Keith Lee.
Oh, okay.
So we move back to another promo, where Damian Priest is kind of like, is walking to the parking lot, and he finds his tire slashed. And then Cameron Grimes just kind of like drives by, and is like, hey, you want me to call you an Uber? And then just like drives off. I shouldn't have laughed as hard as I did at the end of what this promo. I don't know. Like, I just love Cameron Grimes, just slimy heel character, so much. Speaking of slimy heels, we have a promo from Santos Escobar of the ring. He basically just introduces everyone as... oh, God, I'm going to just butcher this. El Leguado de Fantasma. So, okay. the League of Phantom. Or whatever that translates to.
Okay,
but so yeah,
like a serious Lucha House Party.
His league, yes.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Like House Party meets Mafia.
Oh, okay.
So then Drake Maverick just comes out of the crowd and like attacks him.
Good.
Yeah, there's a you know exchange where they're like they've always accused you of having more like heart than brains, and he's like you're right, and just jumps in and starts attacking him. And then gets a Phantom Driver through a table for his trouble. Troubles.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, that...
Yep.
Like, Drake, you're, like, 43-ish. They're all, like, fairly new debuted stars on the roster. Ah, Rockstar Spud. He's got spunk. I like him. Moving on to the main roster. It's Bayley and Sasha versus Tegan Nox and Shotzi Blackheart.
Main roster or main event?
Main event.
Okay.
Main roster stars.
Like the last latter half of NXT just turns into SmackDown for some reason.
Yep. Just moves into it. Welcome to Wednesday Night SmackDown.
Whoa.
So they kind of told a nice story of like the champs were underestimating them and they like would occasionally like, you know, get a big move and they'd be like, oh, okay. But eventually Bank kind of like locks in the big statement and Shotzi reverses it into cattle mutilation. God, I love her finisher name. And then Bayley kind of like slides in with the steel chair, and then Tegan Nox kind of like tries to take it from her, but the ref sees this, and so he's distracted because he's like, "Hey, yo, what are you doing with the steel chair?" She's like, "I took it from her." But that gives enough time for Bayley to break it up, and Banks locks in the bank statement again, forcing Shotzi to tap, unfortunately. Although, good for her. It wasn't so long before we were seeing her in the indies, and now she's in NXT.
All right.
Like, in the main event.
Did you say calf mutilation?
Cattle mutilator.
That sounds like a...
Or cattle mutilation.
Sounds like a death metal band.
It kind of does.
I might be thinking of cattle decapitation. I know, that's a death metal band.
I mean, she comes to the rink in a really awesome tiny tank. I mean...
What?
You saw this.
Oh, yeah.
That happened at the...
That's right.
Yeah, one more slight little detail, though. As Sasha and Bayley were celebrating the ring, Io Shirai just appears out of nowhere and kicks the crap out of both of them.
Good.
Yeah, she just, like, springboard dropkick. I believe she springboard dropkicks Bayley, like, to enter the ring and then just, like, beats both of them up. And then it just goes off air with her holding the title up and her insane music going off. I love it.
Nice.
Yes. Yo, my girl.
Do you think there's
I thought she'd take it from Ripley, not Charlotte, but hey, whatever. Charlotte had to be the Omni Charlotte.
Do you think they're setting up a triple threat between those three? Do you think they would use the NXT Women's Championship as a prop to divide Becky and Sasha?
I mean, that's what they're doing with the tag titles.
Yeah, but they'll be like...
No, I think they won here, and that's all that's going to be told. I believe they will use the tag... They will lose the tag titles eventually as kind of like another little spark. Oh, yeah, there was also a moment here where, like, Bayley kind of, like, chucked Sasha. But then I think it was into Shotzi. Like, she chucked Sasha... Yeah, she chucked her. She tried to chuck her into the corner where Shotzi was, and Sasha just double knees in the corner post. So there's if you'll notice, there's just like little miscommunications with them in every match that they have.
Okay.
I think last time they might have ran into each other too, or like someone might have thrown one of them into the other. So there's just little scenes of dissension. This is definitely a slow burn. I like it.
The slowest of burns.
Yeah, I think the situation going on right now might allow Bruce to like, Vince, let's hold it off. Let's hold it off. Until we can get back into arenas, and he's like, yeah, that's a good idea. So he's like, oh, thank my God, yes, long-term booking. I can finally get some long-term book again.
Oh, man. So, that is it for the wrestling today. Now shall we finish off our tournament?
Uh-huh.
Tournament of heroes, and no more villains.
Yes, they were all eliminated.
So, in the finals, we have Colossus versus Cyborg.
Yes, a robot versus a metal man.
Now, this one's, I think, is really tough.
Oh, definitely.
But, if I could go ahead and put my cards on the table, I think Colossus would take this one.
Oh, wow. I kind of wanted to break it down a little bit first.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Do you think Colossus would take this one as well? Well, we can.
I actually went into this undecided at this point because it's going to be a close match.
Now, that's
are
just,
you ready?
That yeah, go.
I'm going to break it down.
We can definitely debate it. I'm just basing this off the fact that since Cyborg has indestructible skin, since Colossus does, anything that Cyborg tries to do will just not work.
That's going to be point one. Colossus has indestructible skin. Well, Colossus has nearly indestructible skin, because Wolverine's claws can still cut it, don't forget.
Yes, but...
And Cyborg has nearly indestructible armor that the comics always seem to forget, because he's always getting destructed. I mean, then again, the exact moment that pictured in my mind when I said that was Darkseid ripping his arms off, so...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's that.
Him getting torn up by, like, the Parademons.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he always seems to get kind of like hurt somehow with mm-hmm. like, oh, this is a mystic weapon that can hurt him. Which I don't see. That's the thing. I don't know if it's like he still has his little face as a kind of weak point there. But Colossus can still hit it.
I honestly think it would just be a waiting game for Colossus. Because mm-hmm. I mean, with all of Cyborg has like indestructible like armor like as his body, but where Colossus isn't trying to just completely destroy him. All he needs to do is get one solid right hook, or I guess it would mm-hmm. be probably left.
He needs a hook because hook.
Trying to figure out what side the thing on the face was. I think
here's the thing though. Colossus is like four times ish as strong as Cyborg, so definitely if he gets a hold of him,
yeah,
gonna wallop on him.
But
here's where Cyborg takes an advantage though, because he definitely has speed, especially with jets, since you know he can kind of fly.
Yeah,
which in 100x100x100 cube, it gives him a little bit of an advantage, but not a whole lot, because that does definitely eliminate some agility room.
Which, yes, but, like, when it comes to that, I mean, if he's, like, flying up in the air, Colossus has been, like, he's got, like, that Hulk jump to an extent. Not, like, mm-hmm. Hulk can go miles, but, like, Colossus can probably easily just leap into the air and, like...
He does, but once Colossus is in the air, all he has is the force that he has left with and his body being drugged down. Whereas Cyborg still has his rockets, so he can propel him in a different direction and force downwards. But there's still, again, just robots beating each other.
Colossus isn't a robot, though. I still feel
robot and metal man beating each other.
Between, like, rockets and, like, lasers and his white noise stuff, the white noise, I personally feel like would literally just ricochet off of Colossus's metal skin. Like, it would just bounce straight, because, I mean, that would be, like, that's what
Yeah, his cannon probably wouldn't do much. I mean, the lasers maybe, but I think it might hurt him, but it wouldn't be enough to, like, wound him much.
Just enough to piss him off.
It'd
just
kind of be like, what the... Just you know, like, I gotta shield my eyes because this is going at my face kind of a thing.
But just enough to piss him off.
Mm-hmm. Well, enough to distract him. The only chance I think Cyborg would have is if his computer can somehow figure out, like, okay, this is the probability of what he's going to do and land a knockout shot, but even with all of his power, I'm not even sure Cyborg can still land any sort of a knockout shot, because, like, the rockets he has aren't going to do anything.
No.
And even though he can shapeshift into different kinds of weapons and, you know, learn and evolve himself, it's just Colossus just doesn't have that many weaknesses aside from fighting Juggernaut.
Yeah, and even then, he just spits a tooth out and keeps going.
Well, no, Juggernaut has, like,
oh, yeah,
basically
Juggernaut's like
any time in this series.
Yeah, Juggernaut's like a god.
Yeah, he just destroys him. But yeah, there's not really that much you can do against Colossus. Even Wolverine had trouble fighting him while his claws were still cutting him.
Now, if it's Colossus with the Phoenix Force, that would be game over for everybody if he wanted to.
That'd be a little rough.
But this, I mean, I just...
Well, yeah, but Emma Frost also got the Phoenix Force. So, well, it's like, oh, let's hypercharge a psychic.
Well, at that point, digression a little bit, the Phoenix was weakened because it was split between five people.
Yes.
And it was like every time someone dropped, they got stronger.
Oh, you're talking straight Phoenix Force.
No, I was talking, because, like, in Avengers vs. X-Men, the Phoenix got split into Emma, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Like, yeah.
You were talking just straight Phoenix Force, though, not the Phoenix Five.
Oh no! I meant Phoenix Five. If it was straight Phoenix Force, then yeah, he'd go and swing, and it would just be arcing fires of death. Like,
yeah, at that point, we would need to widen the arena and make it, if Cyborg can survive before the Phoenix burns him up.
Exactly.
Then we have our winner. But yes, it just kind of seems like this has to go to Colossus.
I think we're in agreement with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this last fight would definitely be one hell of a fight, but I think in the end, all Colossus needs is just one hit. Like, yeah. or one grab. Like, when I meant jump in the air, I didn't mean, like, jump to punch him. Like, because he probably understands the concept of, like, gravity and all that.
I just kind of assumed that it would eventually end up being a Hulk Loki scene towards the end of Avengers 1. Just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. He will eventually get his hands on him.
Are you unconscious yet?
A couple more times.
Puny God, puny God.
So yeah, that's the podcast.
Yeah, maybe we should have put someone a little less strong than Colossus in. I think putting an 80-tonner in might have been a mistake.
Yeah, but it was all at random, so I guess that worked out.
That's true.
We'll put him in the Hall of Fame, and then when we come back,
I mean, if you want, he can face our season one winner, when we did Carnage versus T-1000.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I got T-1000 versus Colossus.
Oh, my God.
I
don't know what would happen with that. Would the T-1000 take over Colossus?
That would take a minute, and that's going to depend a lot on your battle arena.
Yeah.
Kind of like this cube. Anywho.
Maybe next time we'll do, like, a big battle royale, and we'll have an entire podcast. Like, the hour and a half
episode, just a battle royale.
Just a battle royale between,
drawing, like, names out of a hat and coming up with things on the spot.
Yeah. It'll be like Royal Rumble, where they're coming one by one.
Mm.
But, because then that would actually be really cool, because if you have someone that's like Colossus versus, you know, Beast Boy or anyone that sucks, like, that would clearly not sucks, but like sucks compared to Colossus.
Like, that would Hulk versus Thing.
Yeah, that would easily be like Colossus eliminates him immediately and stands around waiting for the next person.
He Lesnar's him.
Huh?
He Lesnar's him.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, actually, I mean, Kane did it first, but Lesnar did it better.
That'd be a lot of fun. See, we're already brainstorming things for the podcast later on, next season. Season two. Season two of Pops a Pod.
Season two. Louder, nerdier, drunker some episodes.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that is the podcast for now, for today, for this week. As always, hit us up at House of Pod 1 on the social medias. Also, our friend Taylor has started up a podcast, the Coffee Breath Podcast. I'll put the link in the description for everything. But, yeah. Basham, do you have anything to critique about this first year of podcasting?
I believe we should go on more company dinners to talk things over, meetings of sorts.
Yes, I agree. Definitely. As long as the company is paying for it.
Yes.
Yes. Multiple company dinners then. Ooh, nice catch. So, yeah, for House of Pod, I am Mike.
I'm Bash.
Goodbye.